Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. Recently, I spent a little time out in the Bakken, and I'd like to thank all of you that came up to me and shook my hand, said hello, thanked me for doing the show, and a special thanks to those of you who went on record for an upcoming Building the Bakken promo. Appreciate that very much, and we'll keep you all posted on that. Really appreciate everyone's kind words and look forward to shaking some hands and meeting all you folks again in the near future. As I travel around the Bakken and other shale plays, collecting interviews and information to pass them along to our kind and awesome listening audience. Okay, who's on today's program? Well, we've got a fantastic program for you folks today. Okay, first off, we have our Davis Refinery update. Today, we're going to hear from Edward Martinez, President and CEO of Zia Engineering and Environmental Consultants. And what they do is build the cleanest refinery on the planet, and that's coming to Belleville, North Dakota. Also, Blue Hulsey, Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Regulatory Affairs, Continental Resources, talks about the Bakken scoop and stack plays and how well the company is doing in the efficiency during the downturn. Justin Kringstead joins us later in the program, gives us an overview of his presentation from the Western Dakota Energy Association's annual meeting, and describes the refrac process and how that's doing in the Bakken. You're going to want to stick around for that interview. Those that are invested heavily in the Bakken, Justin Kringstead has some excellent information for those of you. And Peter Carroll, managing partner from QMast, he's got this new exciting microwave technology that's working in some of the shallower plays, but as technology happens, he's finding it working in some other shale play USA areas. So Peter Carroll, inventor, managing partner for QMast, talking about his microwave fracking technology just a little bit later on in the program. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. That's all you need to know. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing, and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Edward Martinez, president at Zia Engineering and Environmental Consultants.
When things don't necessarily go right, and there might be a spill or that sort of thing, we've assisted facilities in doing spill cleanups, remediation, site clearances, etc. And we've even assisted facilities when they're decommissioning to do the overall site cleanups and close out their sites, so to speak. So we handle everything on the environmental side from initial siting through when a facility closes down. And we've also assisted on the engineering side in roadway infrastructure for projects, bringing water wastewater systems to the various facilities, design of their pond systems, design of wastewater treatment facilities on site, those sort of issues. So fairly encompassing through a lot of the areas of both initial startup as well as operations.
Sounds like you guys have run the gamut in the environmental world. And so transition that a little bit to Meridian's Davis Refinery. First greenfield refinery, 25 years, United States. Obviously, they've had to change quite a bit from the old existing plants that probably a lot of people are used to. What makes this new Davis refinery so different than the ones in the past?
Yes, I mean, the analogy that I use, it's like a Chevy truck. You know, the Chevy trucks of the 60s and 70s, you look under the engine of those vehicles and you look at, you know, a Chevy truck today, and you look under the engine of a Chevy truck today, and they both have engines. They both might, you know, have a 8-cylinder, 350 horsepower, et cetera, but the engines don't look necessarily the same, and they definitely don't operate necessarily the same. And essentially, that's similar to both refinery technology as well as specifically related to what we're doing for Meridian. The air emissions technology and controls today are nothing like what's, you know, was implemented in the past in what most people think of as refineries. You're looking at technology that in many instances was, you know, from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. While in general, at the end of the day, it may look somewhat like a refinery, it's significantly different. The technology has been upgraded. And the controls, well, we're not necessarily implementing anything that's, I would say, is new or unique on the air emissions controls. The difference is that we have controls on everything. In many instances, redundant controls on units. And so from that standpoint, the level of emissions that we're projecting to be released by this facility is, in many instances, you know, a tenth of the emissions that are permitted at other refinery facilities. We're just looking at very, very low emissions through implementation of very, very aggressive controls across the entire gamut of the plant.
To listen to the full-length interview with Edward Martinez, President and CEO of Zia Engineering and Environmental Consultants, or listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And be sure to join our Facebook family at facebook.com/thecrudelife. Be a part of the Crude Life family, Building the Bakken, and other programs we have. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
And I was born on the first day of my life. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Blue Hulsey with Continental Resources. But I saw that basically you were a heavyweight of knowledge when it came to the Bakken, so I wanted to see if maybe you could give an update on oil, natural gas, and maybe a few research and development things that, if you guys have any, happening out there in the Bakken.
You know, I will tell you, and you mentioned it in your earlier statement about us, you know, really getting better and tightening our belt. I think that's one of the things that we've had to do as an industry within North Dakota is figure out how to, with the price constraints of how to make, get more out of the dollar, get more out of the bid, get more out of what we're doing as a company. And I think that's, as markets happen and markets work, you're forced to get better. And that's the great thing about the world we live in and the business that we're doing is you get better or you're not moving forward. And our company and Harold, our founder, are consistently trying to find improvements, trying to find production improvements, cost-cutting measures. It's allowed us to really look at the bottom line and how we look at completion technology and how we look at completion costs, how we look at how we're going to get the resources out of the ground with the most efficiencies. And so in this downtime, I think we've had an opportunity do that. So our curves are reacting to that, our Bakken curves, we're getting more production at a higher rate earlier. We're looking at those, I think the entire industry is moving that way. Again, I think that would have, that's the natural progression. I think a lot of people don't realize how really technologically advanced our industry is. I mean, we talk a lot about Apple and Silicon Valley and the things that are going on out there. And ironically, you have a governor in the state of North Dakota who's a tech guy, and he understands. I think that's going to it really melds well with our own industry of oil and gas. We're looking at big technology. We're looking at pipes that are wired where you can tell exactly where the bit is and what pressure in it, and those types of things that help us drill smarter and faster, and every hour that we can save is an hour on the bottom line. So those are the things that are really happening in the field that are that we've done just because of a where we are from a market perspective. But I will tell you, it's really when we do get some decent prices, it's going to really we're going to feel that benefit in the long term.
Not too long ago, I suppose it was maybe 6 months ago, maybe a little longer, I spoke with Warren Henry from your group about the scoop and the stack. You guys finding much success in other plays? I know the Bakken's doing pretty well, the scoop and the stack. Any other plays that of note?
You know, from a Continental standpoint, we are focused on the Bakken, but we do have our scoop and stack here in Oklahoma, our prolific oil and gas plays that we've had good rate of returns. We're still exploring. We're doing looking at how we space. The great thing about North Dakota is we've been able to have larger spacing units. We needed that in Oklahoma. We had some legislation over the last year that allowed us to do that. We're still kind of figuring out where those limits of the fields are and doing a lot of exploration drilling here in Oklahoma, but we're extremely excited about our outcomes and where we're headed from Oklahoma in that perspective. It does highlight the impact of a competitive marketplace between the states, and that we look at where capital is best spent. We've got a few more rigs running in Oklahoma right now than in North Dakota because we're a little closer to the market. We're able we have a nice tax treatment in Oklahoma as well that's helpful that keeps some rigs here. So there's some things that are helpful in Oklahoma, that Oklahoma's doing well. But I will tell you, it's one of those things that we're always exploring. Our company is a company that looks we're explorationists, and we have an amazing team of geologists. They're always out there looking. So I never know what they're going to be finding.
You know, a few of the things that I like to constantly hammer home when it comes to the oil and gas industry is number one, if you look at the last decade, it's the only net increaser of jobs in terms of at the end of a decade, the only industry that actually added jobs was the, I think they call it mining, but it's oil and gas essentially. Yeah. And then the other thing is, of course, that the downturn really showed how oil companies can not only become innovative, but expand their portfolios into new plays and that sort of thing to really become diverse with everything else. And to me, what that said from a 5,000-foot view is that activity is so important just to keep the activity going, because we don't want that activity to stop. And with those two things, it kind of seemed like we're going to have a pretty good 2018, because if we're making money at $30, $40, I just can't see it going much lower than that. You know, it seems like you guys have gotten a pretty comfortable stride.
Well, I mean, I think we're always looking at how we make things better, without a doubt. I think that's part how you become profitable in a lower commodity price. How you look at what your the plays and how you make define those in a better define your rate of returns and understand where you're best spending your dollar. I mean, I think that that's continuing. All companies will continue to do that in the downturn. I do think from just a pure economics perspective, I think as we look at supply and demand from the world, world petroleum, world gas, I think the more that we can do the kind of things that we're doing last week and entering into agreements with other countries and supplying American oil to those parts of the world where we have allies or potential allies, I think that's a way that we look at leveling our overall, leveling the ups and downs of a commodity price, leveling the ups and downs of how we're producing and where we're selling. I think it's just an absolute must that we enter into those marketplaces, and it helps from a economic perspective, but it also helps from a world policy perspective or a geopolitical perspective to allow us to get in there and really have business partners, strategic business partners, and provide energy. I think of no one else in with all the troubles in the world, we've got a solid monetary, solid regulatory, a solid military, and our country's going to. We're looking for partners to be energy suppliers too. So I think that as we go forward will be a really good opportunity for domestic producers to see going forward.
Any final thoughts?
I was up pheasant hunting a few weeks ago, and I think the bird numbers are down, but there still are some birds out in southwestern North Dakota, and I think the weather was coming in, but it was a beautiful couple weeks ago. It was a beautiful opening day, and so I'd encourage people to go out west and find some pheasants.
To listen to the full-length interview with Blue Halsey with Continental Resources, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Of course, check us out online. All of our social media links, everything like that, is at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Justin Kringsted, the director for the North Dakota Pipeline Authority. Joined today, of course, with Justin Kringsted, as he just said, with the Pipeline Authority, bringing him in for a couple reasons. One, to talk a little bit about the Western Dakota Energy Association annual meeting, which he played a part in, but then also transition into some pipeline talk. And I also want to ask him about something that the governor has been talking about, too. He's got four goals he'd like to see the oil industry strive for, and just trying to see what the reality is behind something like that. Justin Kringsted, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. And in addition to your normal role, of course, you like to step out and be a part of these annual meetings. I love annual meetings because it kind of summarizes everything. And the nice thing about oil and gas is they work far ahead so that, you know, you think ahead and then you got time to react and a number of different things. So the annual meetings are really important. So appreciate you coming on to help share some of that information out to the masses, the 30-some radio stations that we're on with this program. So let's start off by talking about what was your role at the annual meeting?
Yeah, so this morning at the event, I gave a small presentation and then moderated a panel on Bakken refracts and Bakken optimization. There was several other engineers present on the panel. There was Jeff Parker from Marathon Oil, Charles Olson from Whiting Petroleum, and Charles Gorecki from the Energy and Environmental Research Center. And the two industry partners, Marathon and Whiting, were both given industry perspective of what their companies have been active doing in North Dakota as far as refracts. And then Charles Gorecki with the EERC highlighted some of the programs they have currently underway as far as research and pilot testing and various programs that are in place in order to maximize the production out of North Dakota's resource.
Now, my understanding is, and I could be wrong on this, is that the refrac has advanced or developed to a portion or to a tune to where it seemed to be a very good supplement for the energy companies when the oil price has been below $50-$60, kind of that get outside of the hot zone of the Bakken. How much of that statement is right?
Well, so Bakken Refrax, it's one option available to the producers in North Dakota. And so just like anything else, the Refrax are in competition with either completing a previously drilled but uncompleted well. That capital's in competition with just drilling and completing a traditional horizontal Bakken well. At the same capital's in competition with other plays around the U.S. And so the companies, they've got a lot on their plate as far as trying to figure out where it's most appropriate to use and what the timing and each application is very unique. And again, just like a normal Bakken well, you know, there is no cookie cutter. You know, each one of these refracts that gets completed is a little bit unique. The performance of the well, the technique and the style that was used to refrack it is unique. And so there's still a pretty significant amount of learning that the companies are doing, trying to figure out exactly, you know, what is the right combination of steps to make these refracts the most viable option out there for some of these older wells. And so, you know, really where we're at currently as far as refracts in the Bakken, if we look back at the early days of Bakken development, the 2008 to say 2010 time frame, when the industry was utilizing what we now see as pretty basic types of completion techniques, there was just open hole laterals. They would drill the 2 miles horizontally. They would not do any type of stage separation. They would just pump down, comparatively to today, relatively low volumes of fluid, low volumes of proppant. And it did not effectively hydraulically fracture that full 2 mile lateral. And so companies now, the first phase of the refracts in North Dakota are the companies looking at their inventory of wells from the earlier days of development and saying, okay, which wells should be our first targets, because we know the original completion just wasn't adequate to bring the volumes of production that we would like to see out of that resource. And so they're going back to those single stage fracs, and now they're using more modern technology, the multi-stage fracs, the higher fluid, the higher proppant volumes, in order to give a new life with newer technology to those older wells. And so that's really where we're at today. Going forward, the companies now are looking at, okay, what about the next generation of Bakken wells, the ones that had, say, 20-stage fracs, but still not at the level of understanding the performance that we're getting today. And, you know, that's really where we're at from an R&D side. The industry is looking at, you know, it's pretty clear that the older wells can be refracked successfully. Now, can some of the more modern wells be readdressed and refracked in an economic fashion? That's really the next big question for the industry.
So I had a couple questions stemming off that. And the first one, I guess I'll go into the cost part of it, which is where you kind of left off, is you mentioned science project or something along those lines. What I wrote down is efficient, break even, or science project. Have they gotten, I know you said cookie cutter, or I'm sorry, each one is kind of specific and there's no cookie cutter on this. As an overall refrac procedure, are they still in that science project where it's costing them money? Have they gotten to the break-even point? Are they becoming efficient where they're actually, you know, seeing some good dollars profited? Is there a trend happening within the refracs right now?
Right now, I would say that the industry, when they're targeting those older first-generation Bakken wells, those in today's price environment are economic. They are making those work from a commercial standpoint. So, as I noted, that's really what we're going to see over these next several years, is the industry really looking at working off some of those older wells in their inventory and looking at those for refrac potentials 5 years from now, 10 years from now. As the technology, as the knowledge base grows, then we may start looking at some of those more modern Bakken wells and what may be done with those. But again, from a cost perspective, again, I just had this conversation on one of the sidebars with some of the industry folks. You know, there really is a very wide range for what a refrac cost. It depends on what techniques are used, what type of prep work and downhole reworks that need to be completed, but anywhere from, you know, as simple as a $1 to $2 million job up to higher than $4 million. And so, again, if you're going to be spending $3 or $4 million, you're going to need significantly more oil produced from that refrac than you would, say, with a $1 or $2 million, a little bit more simple approach to that refrac. So, again, still a lot to be learned from from everyone involved on how this could be used and applied most appropriately in North Dakota.
To listen to the full-length interview with Justin Kringstad with the North Dakota Pipeline Authority, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out online at crudelife.com and on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. The past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today, because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together, or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching, or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, Peter Carroll, managing partner with QMAX.
Years old, but I've been working on this invention for probably the last 30 years. I started out at Bendix Field Engineering, and then went as a research scientist to Oak Ridge National Laboratory, where we built the first prototype system of the high-powered system.
So you've got a background in energy. Is it primarily oil and gas, or is it, you mentioned Oak Ridge, that makes me think of the atom bomb or the atomic bomb type thing. Just what is your background when it comes to the world of energy?
Well, the invention itself, when I worked for Oak Ridge itself, we were looking to go after these degreasers, or they call them DNAPLs, dense, non-aqueous phase liquids, kind of like what they use for dry cleaning or degrease, solvent degreasers, and they got into the environment. And when they're in the environment, they're almost impossible to get out. At Oak Ridge, my job was to take... To look at ways to clean up the groundwater, and my background's in fluids, and I realized that you couldn't do it in fluids, so I started looking at the electromagnetic pathway, and that work led to the development of the HPM system, which over the years I've worked on to look at applications in the oil field industry, and we think there's quite a few.
Describe to me how your invention, your process works. It's a microwave oil production, and you know, obviously with the shale plays going on right now, they're looking at ways of fracturing and destroying that rock to get to that sweet crude oil, at least in the Bakken. I don't know about in the Niobrara in terms of in Colorado, but you know, here in the Bakken, we've got some of the best sweet crude in the nation, and they're getting very good results, but the method, I guess, they're looking at always innovating and becoming more efficient with the method. And is that what's going on here? Is the microwave oil production that you've come up with, is it just fracturing the heck out of those rocks?
No. It does fracture the rocks, but it's a little different than that. When you the way the microwave system works is you put an antenna down hole, and you've got a series of pipes coming out of the hole, and they're called waveguides. And what you're doing is you're pumping microwave energy from the surface down this pipe into a radiating antenna, and it's a directional antenna. And what it does is it sends out a beam, the microwave energy, and it starts rapidly heating the rock. This system is 500 kilowatts of power, so it'd be similar to like 500 microwave ovens down the hole itself. And what it does is it near the well, microwaves don't penetrate a long distance, and I think that's one of the reasons that they were overlooked for so long. But what happens is you heat the water if it's in the rock very rapidly, and that causes the rock to fracture. And as that superheated water comes back towards the hole, it starts to strip the oil out. And some energy is lost into the oil itself. But for all in all, the water's a big key there, and it strips all the material out of the rock. Now, when the water and the oil is gone from the rock itself is barely transparent to the microwaves themselves. So, for instance, you know, most of your rocks are like if it's a sandstone reservoir, those are quartz sands, and they have low losses. Calcium carbonate, limestone, they have low losses. Shells, aluminum silicates, they have low losses. So the wave can penetrate through there and start heating water and oil farther in, farther away from the antenna itself, and it'll couple into that. And that's what we call a migrating phase boundary. Now, we can probably go out 25, 30 meters from the well, and we will, of course, when we will either fracture that rock, or we'll create these macro pores that will, as the hot water molecules and oil race back towards the well, you'll get these big macro pore channels. So we've seen where we can increase the permeability of a tight shell by four orders of magnitude. So you have a pathway for that heated oil away from the well to flow back towards the well and to be collected at that point.
To listen to the full-length interview with Peter Carroll, managing partner from QMast, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all of our social media is available at our website, thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that girl. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, Cutting Edge and Oilfield Safety Solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. Oh, yeah.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When you get Eric Hatch involved in something, you get 100% of him. You get him, you get his team, you get his family, now you get his kids. This is a guy that puts his heart into his work. What I really appreciate about Eric is his vulnerability. And there's times he hits home runs, and there's times where maybe it doesn't go the way everybody hoped. But I've always respected how much he loves his work. I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, where he gave a talk, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. It's been said that if you want to create competition, tell everyone your success. And if you want to create compassion, share your weaknesses. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished. And it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.